chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And we're going to start in verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God? Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward for our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I didn't mean to get emotional that quick, but that's such a great passage, isn't it? I got two favorite characters in the Bible, two ones that I love to hear about and like to read about, and they're in songs that we sing. One of them is Stephen, and what a great man. Not sure about the name, and then the thief on the cross. There's so many religions out there that profess salvation through baptism and all these things, but they can't answer the thief on the cross. One day he's going to stand in judgment on thousands of people, millions of people who have taken the word of God and rested it to their own beliefs and what they think is right. And tonight we're just going to study. I just took it upon myself. I mean, your opinions may differ, and that's fine. You can be wrong if you want to. But how did the thief come to the point where he realized this was the Savior? How did he come to the point? Hanging. All we know about him is he was hung on the cross to die, and he had so many hours that he spent with Christ, and those hours were pretty interesting hours when you read about it. And let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll just go through what I found, and some things are pretty interesting to me. So, Lord, I just pray that you'd speak through me tonight on behalf of the thief. And to see some things that were written in your word, Lord, that perhaps somebody in here needed to see. I know I needed to see a few of them. And Lord, I just pray that when we leave here tonight, that everyone here would love you more than they do now. And if that happens, I've reached my goal. And I just thank you so much for all you've done. In your name, amen. The first thing I found out, I sat down and wrote down the account of the thief on the cross from every the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then just wrote down chronologically what happened. You know, going, if I came across one that was common all the way through, then I'd write it down, and then three more might have one common, but something else happened. I'd write that down, and then they would have the, you know, it just, I could explain it some other time, but anyways, we could be here all night. But the first thing that came up was it mentioned his him bearing his cross to Golgotha, and I never knew this before, that the thieves were with him at that time. You may have known that, but I didn't know that. So the thieves were being led with him up the hill to Calvary, to the mount, to be crucified. And I can't help but thinking, these guys are thieves, all right? And working in corrections for 23 years, you notice a couple things about inmates and how they go about getting information. And they're like sponges. They absorb things. They watch everything you do. They listen to everything you say. And they come to conclusions. I remember when I first started at the workhouse, I used to stand in the back of the dining room. I'd stand like this with my, you know, my two fingers, I just relaxing. I had my thumbs hanging in my pockets and my fingers hanging down like this. And all of a sudden, all around the workhouse, they were calling me KKK. I had no idea that was a symbol for the KKK. But that's what it was. And that's just from them watching me stand and having the haircut I have, they just assumed, you know, I wore a white hood on Friday nights and burned crosses and yards. So, you know, that's they get their information from watching. And I can't help but think these thieves, when they're walking along with Christ up the hill, and they're looking at this guy and they're like, what did he do? He's beat to a pulp. He's got a crown of thorns in his head. Daniel mentioned that this morning. I picture the thorns being about this long. I've seen that in some other illustrations. And then it was pounded into his head. He was beat beyond recognition. He couldn't even tell he was a human being. What did this guy do? Look at his back. You can see the bones and blood all over the place. What in the world? And he's not saying anything. They're making accusations of this guy all the way up the hill, and he's not saying anything. You work in the workhouse, boy, none of them are innocent. Or none of them are guilty, I'm sorry. None of them are guilty. You just ask them. What did you do? Oh, they messed me over, man. The judge, he just kind of, you know, he had a bad day, and I didn't do anything wrong. I'm innocent. Yeah, okay, right, all right. So just a bad, you know, you're in the wrong place at the wrong time kind of thing. I understand. But he's fulfilling prophecy too. He was numbered with the transgressors, just like it says in Isaiah. He was crucified with the malefactors, and he was put between them. And the next thing that really was kind of interesting in the how it came about in the order. But the next thing it mentions is Christ on the cross saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he's probably like, "Who's he talking to?" Maybe he's scanning the crowd looking for some guy to respond to him, you know, thinking he was his father, but nobody responds. And Father, so he's a little puzzled about that one, you know, kind of like, what in the world's going on? And then, this is kind of interesting, the soldiers parted his garments. And then the soldiers cast lots for his vesture. And he's like, why are they, this is like, they're looking for souvenirs of this guy. They took his clothes and they're gambling over his clothes. Who is this guy? And what did he do? Why did they beat him to a pulp like that? And why are they going? Why is he getting all the attention? There's two other guys here getting nailed to a cross, and he's getting, everybody is here for that guy. Not in support either, to make sure that he dies. Why is that? And this guy is just soaking all this in. He's just like, I don't get this. I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't know what's going on. And so then he started looking at the crowd and checking out the crowd. And it says in Matthew 27:34, they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. You know, reviled, it talks reproachful and contemptuous. They were holding nothing back. They were telling it like it is to this guy. They're walking by saying, yeah, sure. Look at him now. Look at how powerful he is now. Yeah, look at this guy. He's getting there. Why are they on this guy so bad? And what in the world? And then the accusations start coming. The crowd's walking by. They're not only wagging their heads, but the accusations start coming. And he notices this. He's soaking up. He hears things. And he sees things. And that's the way they are. And they gather information. He's soaking all this in. And he said, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildeth it in 3 days, save thyself." What do you mean? He said he destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days? What are you talking about? What are you saying? What are you saying? "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Ooh, that's some pretty heavy accusations there. He said he was the Son of God. When did this take place? Who is this guy? Now that, well, hey, maybe that makes sense. Maybe that's who he was saying when he said, Father, forgive them. You know, he's just kind of putting pieces together. Just kind of soaking up all this information, getting it all put together. And then the chief priests and the rulers derided him. He's noticing this too. Here's all the hypocrites from the tabernacle coming down. You got the chief priests and the rulers, you know, they're all walking around, you know, hello. We're here to make sure this hypocrite dies, this blasphemer, you know, that they're all, and they all know these guys. They're whited sepulchers. You know, that what I just love the what he called, you know, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. He just nails these guys to the wall though. The whole time he's here, you knew they would be there to make sure he died. Well, let's get rid of this guy. He's making us look bad. We already look bad, but this guy's making us look worse. He's calling us out for who we really are. And he said, and then they said, have he saved others. Let him save himself. Huh. Father, forgive them, for he don't know what to do. He called them the Son of God. And they admitted that he saved others. He saved others. They said it. If he be the Christ, the chosen of God. There it is again. But I noticed this thief's no dummy. You work at the workhouse. These guys aren't stupid. They're not. They're very smart in what they do. Very smart. And he's sitting up there saying they haven't accused him of anything yet. They beat him to a pulp. They hung him on a cross, and they haven't accused him of anything yet. It's just things that he claimed. But they haven't accused him. And it said he saved others. So let him save himself if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. Wow, the king of Israel? Really? Wow, this guy's something else. Either he is who he says he is, or he's the biggest liar that's ever been known to man. You know the thief thought that. We preach that today. We have bumper stickers that say that. He either's lying with the best of them, or he's who he is. He says who he says he is. But check this out. You got the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests and the rulers all standing down there. Let him now come down off the cross and we will believe him. Oh, so the healing of the leper wasn't enough? The healing of the blind wasn't enough for you? You were standing right there when he did these things. That wasn't enough for you? How about when he raised that lady's son back to life? That wasn't enough for you? Now you're telling him to come down off the cross? Come on. How about us when we serve God? Well, if he does this for me, then I'll go serve him the rest of my life. Hasn't he done enough already? Just saving our miserable souls from hell, isn't that enough? Why wouldn't you want to serve him and do whatever you can for the Lord? We could use some help on Saturday mornings going visiting. Could use some help in the nursing. Well, we got quite a few people who go to nursing home. But if you want to help, you're welcome to come. But why do we always make excuses? Why do we always have God prove himself? He already has. Saving our miserable souls. Unreal. Another one, he trusted God. Boy, that's a sin, isn't it? Wow. Put him on the cross. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. Boy, what a statement. Wow. For he said, I am the Son of God. There it is again. He said he was the Son of God. But he's not saying anything. He's not arguing with him saying he's innocent. He's not arguing with him denying the fact. I never said that. I never, you know, like the last election, I never said that. You know, I never said that. Yeah, you know, somebody's lying. You know, he said he was the Son of God. But he's not paying attention to these guys. He's just sitting up there. And all he could say was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What kind of a man is this? Who is this guy? I think he's starting to figure it out. Somebody's not right. Then the thieves, then they start getting in on it. It says the thieves cast the same in his teeth. Yeah. So that's the way it is. They find out information. They get all this stuff collected. They start making accusations. Then they test you. Hey, was this true? Say, you say you're the Son of God. Why don't you get down off the cross? Take us with you. Hey, big man over there. Hey, you with the thorns in your head. Yeah, why don't you just come down off the cross like they say? Big king of the Jews. So they start casting that at him. Then the soldiers get in on it. Everybody's getting in on it. Nobody's paying any attention to these two thieves. It's all about Christ. It's all on him. If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And this was something that really, really was interesting to me. Turn over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, starting in verse 35. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken of the prophets. They parted my garments among them. Upon my vesture did they cast lots. So he's already on the cross, right? He's already on the cross. And sitting down, they watched him there. It was like, pop the popcorn. Pop the popcorn, babe. Here, we're going to sit here and watch this guy bleed to death. Well, it's, what an amazing thing. That's not what I was going after. But anyways, and set up over the head his accusation written, this is the Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then he go back over to Luke 23. I'm sorry, John 19. John 19, I'm sorry. John 19, 19. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Now in Matthew, it says they were sitting there watching him die, and then they put that sign up there. And it says here that Pilate made the sign and put it on the cross. So that tells me that Pilate was there. Pilate took the time. This guy affected Pilate so much that he went to the crucifixion. He wrote this sign and went all the way out to the Mount Calvary and put this sign on the cross. And they tried to get him not to do it. In fact, the chief priest, he said he was the King of the Jews. And Pilate, I can just picture it, Pilate, the governor of Rome, and he turns around and says, what I have written, I have written. What happened in Pilate's hall, to me, what I get out of this, he had convinced Pilate that he was a king. Because there was one scripture in there where at the beginning he says, behold the man, and about seven verses later he says, behold your king. Something changed in Pilate's mind. He didn't accept him as Lord. He didn't accept him as the Son of God. But something in his mind clicked and said, this guy, he's a material of a king. And he went down there and put this on the cross. He said, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. No, he just said he was a king. No, what I've written, I've written. And he walked away. And I can just imagine, you know, part of this is speculation. A lot of it is, maybe it is. But a hush just went across the crowd. Wow, that's Pilate. That's the governor of Rome saying this, that he's the king of the Jews. And the whole time the thief is up, they're up there, they're soaking this in. Like, wow. Now I have his opinion on this. And he says who he thinks he's a king. Maybe this guy is legit. Maybe he is who they say he thinks he is. Maybe he is the Son of God. They said he saved some. And only God can save people. Maybe this guy is legit. And then it goes on and says, the other thief on the other side, it got too quiet for him. You know, so he's got to stir the pot a little bit more and get everybody riled up again because he's not getting not enough attention here. If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And the other rebuked him. Dost thou not fear God? Wow, his mind had changed. Dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? If this is God, if this truly is the Son of God and he's being crucified on a cross, who are we? And what punishment are we going to face when we get done if he's getting this? What is it? We were talking about it the other day. I can't remember who I was talking to, but facing the wrath of God? Who would want to be on the end of that? And this is the Son of God and he's being butchered. Being butchered. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. We're getting what we deserve, but this man hath done nothing amiss. I have yet to hear them put an accusation against this guy that's even real. We're getting what we deserve. Everybody knows we're thieves. And you can tell they don't care about us. We're going to die. We're going to get what we deserve, but this guy didn't do anything wrong. How dare you sit there and accuse him of nothing? This man had done nothing amiss. He said to Jesus, Lord, Lord, he called him Lord. He'd come to the point from seeing a man beat up like hamburger to the point where he's calling him Lord. He'd listened to everything that was said. He had thought about everything that was said. He heard the lack of accusations against him. He saw who it was that was accusing him. The people from the synagogue were accusing him. The rulers were. Everybody wanted him dead. But they had no reason. What are they're putting him on the cross because he said he was the Son of God and he saved people. What in the world? And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Man, living. What a life-changing. This is a talk about a deathbed conversion. Right at the end, he said, hey, from what I hear and from what I see and from what I've experienced today, you are who you say you are, even though you've never said a word. I can see that it's real. And he said, verily I say unto thee, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Wow. What a peace. Do you remember that day when you got saved? You remember that when you bowed your head and you realized who you were and where you were going and where you're going to spend eternity? And you bowed your knees before a holy God and said, I'm sorry. And he said, today, you've etched your place in paradise. One day we're going to spend eternity together. The clouds are going to part. I'm going to come and we're all going to go home. Praise God. And he tells this thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And then he gets to see, after that, he gets to see more assurance of what he just did. He hears, darkness from the sixth to the ninth hour. The whole earth, it says, was dark. The whole earth from the sixth to the ninth hour. If that isn't the power, just seeing this happen, an earthquake happened. The power of God, the veil in the tabernacle rent in two. He didn't see that, but he saw the darkness happening, and you just imagine what was going on in their minds, and the earthquake happened, and what in the world's going on? And then he hears Christ. He looks at Jesus, and he says, and Jesus says, he sees it, takes care of his mom, and he takes care of John. He says, John, I need to take care of my mom. Behold your mom. And he's just taking care of business. He's not doing anything in to get back at these people at all. He's not doing one thing. Because he's doing what he's supposed to do, but none of them know it. None of them. Then he says, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Was that the phrase, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? And they said, I think he's calling for Elias. So I don't understand this part myself, that he's calling for Elias, so let's get him a sponge full of vinegar. Really? Oh, Elias, vinegar, yeah. Really? That's an amazing thing. And then after all this, think about this. All that he's been through, he went to the garden, he's sweating great drops of blood, then he goes through all the beating, getting the hair pulled out of his face. He's getting beat. He's getting spit on. Crown of thorns beat into his head. Whipped with a cat of nine tails. Just looks hideous. He went through all this on the... He gets hung on a cross and dropped into the ground and just, you know, just jerked on the nails. And he's just in pain, you know, just hurting. He can't even imagine. I can't even imagine what he's going through. And he says, I thirst. Really? I guess I'd be a little thirsty too. I complain after a hard day of work. Hard day of work. I thirst. Then he said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. It is finished. And he died. It is finished. No three greater words have ever been spoken for us. It is finished. We don't have to do a thing except trust Christ and all he did. We don't go out on the streets and preach because we have to. We don't go out and hand out tracts because we have to. We don't witness to people at work because we have to. If you are doing it that way, you got the wrong idea. He said it is finished. It's done. I've done everything. And he died. And then the last thing he hears, from what I see in the Bible, is a soldier says, truly, this man was the Son of God. Wow. And this was a soldier, one of the ones that was mocking him, making fun of him. Maybe he's the one who nailed the nails in his hands and his feet. We don't know. It doesn't say. But a Roman soldier says, surely this is the Son of God. So the thief had a pretty good day. It started off kind of bad, but it ended pretty good. So then I have to go one step further, and there's a lot of speculation here, so bear with me. Because it doesn't really say what all happened. In fact, it doesn't describe it at all. But imagine, after Christ died, they went around and broke the legs of the two thieves. And they died later that night. They had to get them off the cross before the Passover, before the six o'clock or whatever it was. The thief dies, closes his eyes in death and opens them, and he's in a place. And he's looking around. What is this? What is this? And this guy, a guy walks up to him and says, hey, how you doing? Welcome to paradise. My name's Abraham. Like, Abraham, like Abraham had a son, many sons had father Abraham. Yeah. This, you're Abraham? Yeah. He said, another guy comes up, hey, how you doing? My name's Noah. Like ark, like Noah, like boat, like, yeah, like flood. Yeah, that's me, yeah. And that's this guy over there, that's David. And he's just going around and he's seeing these people. He's like, wow, this is amazing. This is unbelievable. Hi, my name's Adam. Oh, you're the one. And you're the one. And he's meeting all these people, you know, and you know, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. He's meeting them all. And First and Second Chronicles was there. But he's in paradise and he's like, wow, this is great. And then one somebody comes up and says, without, who are you? Well, I'm a thief. And how did you get here? I'm a thief. And I was being crucified on a cross. And there was a guy next to me. And there was another thief, a guy I knew from the streets. He was on the other cross. And there was this guy in the middle, though. His name was, what was his name? His name was Jesus. And they kept calling him the names like King of the Jews and the Son of God. And you can see these guys' faces starting to light up a little bit. And they're like, yeah, yeah. And he goes, just before I figured out that this guy was real, I figured out that he was the real thing and that he was God in the flesh. And I said, Lord, if thou remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he told me, and he turned to me, and he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And Abraham, he goes, hey, somebody get Isaiah. Isaiah, get over here. Come here, quick. What was that you wrote in your book in chapter 53, verse 12? That he was numbered with the transgressors. Wow. And you said he's coming today? Yeah, he said today I'll be with you in paradise. No way. Are you serious? He's coming today. Yes, he's coming today. The Savior, he's coming today. He said he would be here today. And he's like, oh, this is great. And the place just starts going wild, erupting with noise, saying, he's coming today. He's coming to get us, coming to take us home. And he spent a couple more hours there probably walking around. This isn't in the Bible, so don't look it up. And he's looking around, and he off in the distance, you know, after a while, he hears this wailing and this noise. He's like, what in the world's going on? What is that? And some guy grabs him and says, come on with me. Let me show you something. Takes him over to the edge of paradise. And he looks out and he sees this big body of water. It's a gulf. You looked at maps before? Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of Oman. You know, it's all water. And off in the distance, he sees all these people. And they're burning. They're in a fire. And the guy, what is that? He goes, That's hell. He says, by the way, my name's Lazarus. I've been here for quite a while. Not as long as Adam's been here, but I've been here a while. In fact, Abel's been here longer than anybody, I think. But see that guy right over there? That's a rich man. He trusted in his riches. And he ended up there. They said, well, who's that guy? Who's that big guy? My lands, who is that guy over there? That's Goliath. You can talk to David about him. He said, wow, that's amazing. He goes, hold on a second. I know that guy right there. I know him. That's the other thief. That's the other guy that was hanging on the cross. He was the one that was making fun of Christ. He was a, oh, man, if you, I bet he wishes he had a second chance. And then he's standing there for a while, and he's looking, and he all of a sudden he sees somebody walk through the fire and through the smoke and come up to the edge of hell, right on the edge of hell in the gulf. And he goes, "That's him! That's the guy. That's the Son of God. That's the guy I was hanging next to right there. How's he gonna get over here? Look at all this water." And all of a sudden, as we know, Christ, the only one in the Bible that can walk on water, starts walking across. And it says in John 6:19, "So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea. 'It is I, be not afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead and am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death.'" And he walks across the water over to paradise. And it says in John 6:19, "And they were willing, welcomed him into the boat, and they ended up, and they were immediately at the land they wanted, they were heading for." Imagine all those years waiting in paradise, and they welcome Christ aboard, and he sees the thief, and he said, "I told you so. I told you so. Let's go home." And one day he's coming back for us. What is so perilous in this life that we can't handle a few more days after all he did for us? What is so hard in this life that we just cry and complain and moan and groan? It's so piddly when we think and look at what he did for us. And what happened to the thief? What happened to that thief happened to us one day. We came to the realization that he was a Son of God and he could change our life for all eternity. Let's not forget that in our daily lives. Let's not forget what he did for us. And let's continue to go forward for him. What a blessed story, the thief and the cross. He had no hope. He had no life. He went right down to the end and finally he got it right. And now he's in eternity in paradise with Christ. We get to see him one day and talk to him and talk to everybody else that was there. Let's just enjoy what we have and realize who we are in Christ and all the joys that await us eventually in heaven one day. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day.